You guys hear me? Yeah, all right. Good evening. So I'm sorry for my choice of tie. I didn't realize that there'd be this much light focused on me. So I'm hoping nobody is experiencing side effects because of this. So my name is John. Let me just flash forward or flash backwards in time. The year is 1994, and I'm 25 years old. And I've been working a couple jobs out of college that weren't that satisfying. I was waiting tables. I was busing tables. I was doing a lot with tables, as a matter of fact. And then I had an entry-level position that wasn't all that interesting. And so I'd studied math as an undergrad. What's up, math majors? Yeah, that's what's up. I'd study math as an undergrad, but I also liked people, and I wanted to do something. Yeah. Exactly. You thought those two things were mutually exclusive, right? But so I was interested in doing something that combined both my interests, and I found out about public health and this discipline called biostatistics, which is, math-based approaches to trying to solve public health problems. I said, sign me up. And so I applied to a couple grad schools and was lucky enough to get into one. And in 1994, I moved to Boston, and I was lucky enough to get funding to be a student, and I was getting funding from the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, ostensibly, and there was nothing tied to this per se, but it was in the hopes that I would do HIV-related research upon completion of my PhD. So I was there, hanging out, doing the coursework, and so I was in a PhD program. It was very analytical and theoretical. I was doing a lot of math derivation, but I wasn't getting the public health part. And I didn't feel like, I felt like I could prove a lot of stuff that I didn't know how to use. I wanted more of a public health experience, especially since I was being funded to work on HIV-related topics. Every now and then we would do a data analysis on HIV-related data, but I realized by the time I got it, it was just numbers. I didn't have any connection to it. I didn't know so much about HIV as someone who is analyzing that. So I wanted to get more experiences on trying to better understand HIV. So I started volunteering that first summer in grad school. I worked at a clinic for HIV-positive mothers and their HIV-positive children. And then I started in this was in Boston. They had a needle exchange program for IV drug users, ostensibly to turn in their used works and get clean needles so that they wouldn't share needles with other users and prevent the spread of infectious diseases like HIV. And so I did that, and I did that for a year. And then I felt like the program was too theoretical for me. I didn't want to commit to another 3 years of doing a PhD that somebody else picked out for me. And so I left with sort of the parting prize, a master's. And I moved to that and a year's supply of turtle wax, right? That's what you usually get for coming in second. But so I moved to D.C. To work at a policy think tank. I thought, well, at least I can learn about policies. And it was criminal justice policies. It wasn't directly related to HIV, but it was of interest to me. And I just wanted to put the statistics in action and learn other things. And so when I was in D.C., I wanted to pick up the kind of work I was doing in Boston, working on the needle exchange. But this was 1996, and there was a federal ban on funds for such programs in the district. And this had just happened when I moved there, and the organizers of the program hadn't been able to rally and get together, equipment and funding to do another program at that point. So there was nothing going on with that. So I said, well, let me look elsewhere. Let me try and do something else. And I hooked up with a local HIV clinic there and did outreach. I wanted to do some outreach give out safe sex items and education packets and that sort of thing. And so I hooked up with a group, and we would go out maybe once a week, and we would go out to bars, generally in the northwest section of D.C., mainly catering to gay and lesbian clientele, but not always. We would give out condoms and literature about safe sex. And so this was in the mid-90s, and it was, the antiretrovirals hadn't been established as a therapy, as a working therapy yet, et cetera. So this was a big deal. HIV prevention still is a big deal. I don't mean to suggest otherwise. So we would go to these clubs, but we always looked like the people who were there to hand out stuff, when you go into a club and there's somebody like me, I'm dressed like me, I just, when I showed up here tonight, people were expecting me to give them things. I don't know what it is about, So we always it was clear that we were there to do something, but we were not necessarily part of the club-going group. It was distinct. And it is what it is, but it was good that we were able to, people came to us, and they got condoms, and they got information, they got dental dams, whatever we were giving out. So So one night, the volunteer coordinator there was a very active, interesting person, and he said to me, "John, you know, you're looking kind of fatigued at these late nights, you know? I mean, I was getting close to 30, you got to understand. Like, you know, like, I mean, 9 p.m., you know, I just wanted to be in my bathrobe and slippers." So he said, "Well, we've got another program we're doing. We're going to start doing some outreach at a health club. And it would be afternoon hours, come after work and stay till 8 or 9 or something like that, a fitness club. And it caters to gay and lesbian clientele. And we want to do the same sort of thing that we're doing at these clubs, give out condoms and literature." So sure, you know, I said, maybe this will motivate me to get in shape as well, you know. So my first shift, I show up at this, it was in just a nondescript office building in downtown D.C. I get buzzed up to the second floor, and I was thinking, well, this is interesting. You know, it wasn't like one of those mega Gold's Gym type places that, you know, was all neon and tank tops. I get buzzed upstairs, and I go into what, you know, come into this place, and there's like a front desk, like a reception desk. There's no one there. I walk in, there's nobody around at this point, and it smells like cigarette smoke, which I thought was interesting. You know, this was the 90s, so you could still smoke inside, and I thought, well, maybe there's a bar in another part of the building, or you know, in public health, we talk about harm reduction, right? The idea of doing less harm to yourself. So I thought, maybe people feel that if they're working out while smoking, you know, that, you know, there's some benefit there. So anyway, I was kind of perplexed by this. And then in behind me walks in my, then I noticed it in the room there that I walked into, there was a weight bench and a squat set. So I said, oh, this is clearly a health club. And the next thing you know, somebody comes out and starts doing squats. And he was naked, okay? And, you know, I could understand that. It's like, you know, you go into the locker room, you undress, and you're so focused on doing your workout that maybe you forget, you know? So I wasn't even thinking anything of this. My only thought was, like, dude, you need a squat belt. You know, I was worried about him, physical harm. But so this was, you know, and then, so while this is happening, the volunteer coordinator for the clinic comes in the door, and he's a very attractive man, very well-dressed. He comes in, and he says, "Oh, you're here." I said, "Yeah." He goes, and he pauses for me. He goes, "Oh, did I tell you?" And I said, "Did you tell me what?" He says, "Did I tell you that the clients would prefer if you dressed like them?" So what do you mean? You know, I was looking like this. You know, I was proud of my tie, you know. It was not too brightly lit, so nobody was, you know. And I said, well, you know, I just kind of looked at him confused. And he goes, "Come with me." And so we go in the locker room. He's like, "We'd prefer if all our volunteers would strip down to at least their underwear and walk around in a towel." You know, that you would. And I said, "Well, okay, YOLO, you know, I'll do this, you know. I'm here for public health. I'm here for public health, right?" So you can imagine I go out and I'm walking around in my towel and I'm giving out condoms to, and you, this will probably come as no surprise to any of you because you're not nearly as naive as I was at the time, but this wasn't just a health club, okay? You know, this was functionally a bathhouse for men to hook up and have sex, which is awesome, and that's great. And I was glad to be there at, you know, in all seriousness, this is a great public health intervention, right? You actually, you're there to give people the tools they need to do, in all seriousness, right? But you've got to understand, I'm walking around in a towel, right? So there was a row of cubicles in this place that kind of looked like confessionals from Catholic school years. But instead of being full of teenagers confessing about masturbating, well, it was full of men. You get the picture. Sort of showing off their wares, and here I am walking around saying, "Do you want a condom?" You know, I mean, in a towel. So clearly, you know, why wouldn't they think I was hitting on them? You know, why wouldn't they think that? And I was sort of, you know, I'm not used to that sort of attention. I mean, I was not svelte like the other people I was walking around. I was not even wearing my Canadian Mountie costume. You know, So I realized quickly that this wasn't going to continue to be, you know, an appropriate. I was not going to get the message across that I wanted if I was doing this, you know. I mean, I was in a relationship. I was serial monogamous. I was just, you know, and I didn't want to give the wrong impression here. But I wanted to do public health. And so we thought about this, and I consulted with my volunteer coordinator. I'm like, what can we do so that I'm not such an object of adoration? And I decided, you know, I had always been fascinated with dads who wear their pants up to here. You know, we all have one. And so I was like, the next time I go, I'm going to take the towel and hike it up to here, right? And believe me, people would just not look at me and they'd grab a condom at that point. And I was like, mission accomplished. So anyway, that's my story. Thank you for your time. Yeah.